sorry, principally studied farmland markets and looked at various issues from individual parcel valuation. So how do we come up with – how does a market price formed for an individual unit? But also a sort of general trend, so more of a time series perspective of, you know, what forces cause farmland prices in aggregate to rise and fall. And that has actually led to my more recent concentration in credit markets because land plays a big part in lending relationships and how farmers can – so the majority of wealth stock of farms is held in land, which is a pretty big illiquid asset, so about 80% of the value of the assets in agriculture and land. And so when farmland prices rise, farmers don't get to realize any of that capital appreciation outside of selling land, which is you don't want to do. So they do that through credit markets, right? So they can use that as that asset base for leverage to meet some of their short-term needs in terms of capital. So increasingly moving into credit markets.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by the fact that, you know, they can use that as leverage in credit markets?
Yeah, so for collateralized lending, you can use the asset base for collateralized lending and use that to meet some of your short or intermediate term financial needs of the farm.
So basically, if I have a house and it's worth $300,000 and 2 years later it's worth $600,000, that means that now I can go to the bank and say, look, my house is worth more and you should give me a bigger loan.
Correct. Yeah. Or you can say, you know, I've fully paid off that value of the house. And so I have this huge wealth stock. Can I collateralize some portion of this so I can get some operating capital? Or like, you know, if you use the housing example, a lot of times people will do what they call a reverse mortgage, which is basically collateralized lending to do like send your kids to college, right? So you can get $30,000 out of the value of your home into actual cash you can use now.